Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the March 31 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. This is the USDA special report of our program. Our panelists today include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois, and Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can listen to all of our ag programming each and every business day of the year. The address, willag.org. We'll start today by recapping the USDA reports. The prospective plantings number showed that corn acres in the United States will be 96% of last year at 89.996 million, soybean acreage at 107% of last year at 89.482, and all wheat at 92% at 46.059 million acres. Grain stocks numbers show 8.616 billion bushels of corn left in the bin, soybeans at 1.735, and wheat at 1.655 billion.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's begin with this question for Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Bill, thanks for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about what the numbers look like to you when they first came out at 11 o'clock today?
Yeah, I would say this is typically kind of a squirrely data set because the numbers are already about 30 days old. But the bottom line is the bean acres definitely got the trade's attention. It wasn't as big as some people might have thought. But it was still fairly large. The other thing, too, is that the corn stocks number was a little bit bigger than a lot of people thought. But the fact that the market was able to recover and basically advance about 7 or 8 cents is pretty telling that maybe this market has played itself out to the downside short term. I think going forward, you got to keep in mind that today was the end of the week, end of the quarter and end of the month. So there might have been some peripheral influences at play too. So we'll come back in early next week and see if we can't build on this recovery effort in corn and wheat and see if the funds decide to sell any more beans. But my hunch is that the commodities are pretty relatively, they're well priced at these levels.
Joe Vaklovic, the number of 89.482 million acres for soybeans was within the range of trade estimates, but it was above the midpoint or the average across most of the trade. How did the market handle it throughout the day, meaning what happened right at 11 o'clock, and did it just stay there, or did it react very much the rest of the day?
Well, the trade sold the bean market pretty heavily on these numbers, and I don't think it was all about the acreage number necessarily. I think the trade is already convinced that we probably increased the corn acreage number and probably dropped the bean acreage number a little bit before June 30th. You got to think that this 90-cent drop in soybean futures is going to have some kind of impact on acreage. All in all, I'd say the corn market acted very well here. We had a bearish stocks number, and we were still able to rally. If we were able to somehow keep this corn acreage number at 90 million, it gives us at least the ability to have a friendly story into the growing season if we run into some weather hiccups or anything along those lines. I also think the wheat market acted very well. The wheat numbers were pretty much negative across the board, and acreage numbers were down, but we knew that. Stocks numbers were a little bit bigger than what we thought. I think today could have been a lot worse. I think it could have been a lot worse for the bean market. 17-cent losses in old crop contracts isn't that bad, all things considered, and positive closes in corn and wheat.
Chip Nellinger, given what we heard from South America this week, Informa numbers were at 111 million metric tons, increasing the size of the Brazilian soybean crop. Another number, I think, what, at 113. Do you agree that it could have been much worse today, and 17 cents doesn't seem such a bad number for a loss in Chicago on this USDA report day?
Yeah, I do agree with that, but we have to understand, too, that in the last 5 weeks, we've dropped $1.30 out of old crop beans. So some of this was built in. The increasing estimates, the private estimates from Informa and both privately out of South America and Brazil, those numbers are increasing. That's not a big shock to the market. So that's part of this big drop that we've seen is the market factoring in those increasing estimates for both corn and bean production in the southern hemisphere. Yeah, I agree with Joe. It could have been a lot worse. I think you probably couldn't have asked for, you know, more help in the corn market here. It was right exactly what we needed. And I agree, you know, if we stick here at this level of planted acreage, you know, we got to have a big crop because our demand's record large. We know that. And any shortfall, anything below trend line, starts cutting the carryout pretty significantly in corn, assuming that our demand stays at current levels.
Yeah, so the corn number for you, Bill Gentry, felt like a pretty good number today?
It sure did. I think realistically that demand base that we're talking about is pretty important. And our in-house assessment right now is that if we see a relatively good yield, our carryout expectations is probably down around 1.5, 1.6 going forward. So that really does give the market a little bit more upside potential, and then we'll continue to watch the weather. But the demand is great. Ethanol is not going away. So I think that the current price at level is pretty well supported.
How do you think farmers have changed, if anything, their thoughts on acreage numbers since the March 1 figure was put in place?
Our expectations are that the beans that most of our producers are going to put out more acres of beans probably sold at higher levels. So this market break is not really going to hamper or adjust things for them. I also think, too, that our discussion in-house was that might actually force some additional bean acres because those guys have made, I had one of my producers call this morning, said he was basically 80% sold for new crop. And that boils down to is if we have any adversarial weather, he's going to be 100% sold pretty quick. So they might actually push those bean acres just a little bit harder before it's all said and done.
Wait, you mean put more bean acres in?
That's correct. In order to satisfy their cash commitments already.
And would those come mostly in the Western Corn Belt? I mean, Iowa was at, what, 106%, Minnesota 109, the Dakotas 114, Kansas at 123.
Almost all the states are showing records as far as production potentials on this report. So I think it's all the I states, Wisconsin, even the Dakotas. Bottom line is almost all the states in the Central Corn Belt showed significant increases in expectations. And I think those are based on facts that they probably already sold better values than we're seeing right now.
Do you agree with this kind of assessment, Joe Vaclavic? And I guess my thought process here is, do you think that today's report will cause producers to plant more soybeans on the idea that the crop insurance number is a revenue figure they can live with?
No, I don't think they're going to plant more acres, but I do agree that a lot of sales were made at higher prices. I think the farmer generally did the right thing in pricing bushels, given the fact that they were going to plant more acres. The crop insurance thing does come into play, but at much lower levels. You've got to assume that a farmer really made some aggressive sales if we're to start to talk about that. But I think the best thing in the world right now would be if we could keep this corn acreage number down around 90 million. I think that gives us a really strong chance at some prices that actually work this year. You know, if we were to knock 5 to 10 bushels off the trend line yield and have that corn acreage number at 90 million, that really paints a much more friendly scenario and probably a scenario where I think most farmers in this country would be able to actually make some money this year.
And one other number from the prospective plantings report before we move on to the grain stocks figure, this one on the wheat for you, Chip Nellinger, at 6 million acres, 92% of last year. I don't suppose this was outside of the expectations, but it is a very low number.
Yeah, and I don't think it is outside of expectations. You know, maybe the spring wheat number, I thought maybe would have been a touch higher. But I don't think there was any big shocks, both either on the stock side or the acreage side on the wheat, and a lot of bearishness built in already. You know, we had a big drop in wheat prices. Funds have huge shorts on. It rained out in the drier areas of Kansas, Oklahoma. So there's a lot of bearishness built into current levels, and it was good to see a nice rally today.
So let's move on to the grain stocks figures at this point. The numbers look like this for corn. In total, they are setting at 8.616 billion bushels in the bin from now until the end of the year. For soybeans at 1.735 billion and wheat at 1.655 billion. Did you take those numbers apart very much, Bill Gentry?
Yeah, a little bit. The corn number in particular is one that we discussed this afternoon. We think that the USDA may have underestimated our production last year, and that kind of made those stocks numbers swell a little bit. But going forward, I think that we've already touched on the fact that our demand base is stellar. And going forward, I think we've got respectable price levels at current levels. And the upside potential going forward is probably going to open up a little bit more than we would have thought maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Does this mean that we'll change anything in the WASD figures for the month of April once those numbers come out, Joe Baklevic?
No, they don't have to. You know, what the number means is one of two things. It means that the crop size is wrong, or more likely, in my opinion, that the feed and residual use number is wrong. USDA does not always necessarily make the adjustment in April. They might wait. They also have another quarter of usage to figure out. So it doesn't mean that they need to make the change next month, although they probably will eventually.
Did you take a look at the on and off farm numbers, Chip, and have an idea of what that might mean, if anything?
You know, honestly, I didn't. It was a crazy day. I didn't look at the breakdown of on versus off farm. The biggest issue, whether it's on farm or off farm, is the amount that's unpriced. There's still a fair amount of corn unpriced, old crop corn unpriced, but I would say it's less than a year ago. So if we can develop some sort of a bullish case here, you know, I like our chances in corn. I don't think it's going to be as big a hindrance as it was a year ago as far as the sheer massive amount of unpriced farmer-owned inventory out there.
The on-farm number is 4.908 billion. The off-farm at 3.708 billion. I know that you and your folks over at RMC have been thinking about where that's placed across the United States and what that really means, for instance, per basis in your area and to the east, which has been pretty much better than the rest of the Corn Belt. Does this change anything for you, Bill Gentry?
I don't think it really does. I think we really tried to reach forward as far as the marketing plan, and we've been telling our guys all through the winter to be a little bit more aggressive in selling the corn crop, because we know that there's going to be quite a bit carryover going forward, and we don't want to see too much stuff held into the summer months, because what happens then is when you've got, you know, a big production type figure, granted the acres are a little bit less than we might have previously thought, but when you see old crop coming out of the bin and new crop needs to be sold, it turns into be a little bit of a burden to the marketplace. So our strategy has been to push it out the door a little bit more aggressively, and I think we'll continue to do that. As far as beans are concerned, we've already priced a fair amount of beans. I think going forward, now we've talked about it, it's kind of like leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but maybe buying some puts here just to make sure that the thing doesn't get away from us, especially in beans, is a reasonable consideration, maybe even some vertical puts. But longer term, no strategic changes from our house. And I think the corn and the wheat market, if they express themselves a little bit more positively, will give us another look at it.
Any changes on your front, Joe Vaklevic?
No, not really. I'm not interested in selling any corn here for any reason. These prices are no good. They don't make money for anybody. Old crop corn, I do understand we're on the clock and we don't have all the time in the world anymore. A lot of this will be a basis game. If you can get a basis that you like, then I suppose go ahead and sell it. One thing I'll say is that option volatility is pretty low. If you need to re-own some sales that you don't like, I think buying call options, I actually like doing them out to September, is actually pretty reasonable. I have no interest in selling any new crop corn here. I want to sell prices that make money. I'm not in the business to make early sales that lose money, not before we've seen what can happen here with weather.
Chip, are you concerned at all that soybeans technically will fail somewhere in the future again?
Yeah, we are at good support. I could see a dead cat bounce 20, 30, maybe 40 cents happening. But I think big picture, there's still kind of a magnet at the $9 level on November bean futures. I think eventually, I'm not saying we're going there now in the next 2 weeks, I think eventually that comes out, unless, you know, we're all saved by some big, you know, weather scare or drought situation. I think odds favor after this report, you know, at some point a retest of $9 on the November bean futures.
I would think that that weather scare probably, Joe, would come much later in the year, more in the late May, June, July area as it relates to dry conditions, although we've had wet weather conditions that have been a problem. Between then and now, is there much in the fundamental side that could change?
If the market gets worked up about planting conditions, I suppose that could do something. You know, it's starting to look like we're trending wetter here. And if that's the case, I don't think you're going to see a lot of early corn plantings. That has a few different implications. It probably limits your corn acreage to some extent. Potentially, if it gets really exaggerated, it could result in some buying. It's actually just a matter of fact, looking at, I saw this CFTC report come across the wires here, and funds added really aggressively to their net short corn position here as of last Tuesday. They're short 150,000 contracts of corn, which is pretty excessive historically. So, you know, if they get nervous because they see wet weather here the next month or so, and they want to head for the exits, that's what gives you your $4 new crop corn price and maybe some better things for old crop also.
So if the funds are that short, the marketplace, and it sounds as if all of you, I think, are feeling better about the corn market today than you have for a while, although you've been getting friendlier in the last month and a half. Do you need to be concerned at all, Joe?
Concerned about the funds?
Yeah.
Well, I'm. If anything, that big fund short is a positive force in the marketplace. I don't see the scenario where they're going to tack on another 50,000 shorts after that report into weather. I don't know if I see it here. It's certainly possible, but if anything, I'm going to view that as a positive.
And how about you, Chip?
Yeah, I agree. I think especially with this report, you know, the question becomes, what if the funds finally are out of love in the bean market? And they want to build a net short position in beans while at the same time getting long corn and wheat against it just because it's a value play. That could create a nice buying interest in corn and wheat and keep the pressure on beans. So, yeah, I think that's still out there. I'm not super concerned. I think the corn and the wheat market, like Joe said, probably set up more, you know, from a more bullish standpoint right now because they're a little bit, you know, off their footing in corn going into the main part of the growing season with a lot fewer corn acres. So the spark's there. We just need to add a little gasoline here at some point in the next 90 days.
Have you started to forward figure any of this kind of thing, Bill Gentry, into a supply and demand table at all?
Not yet, but I tell you what, I'm going to be watching the wheat market very, very closely because typically we look for it to have a little bit of leadership. The commercials have been selling the carry and storing that wheat. We've got a stocks-to-use ratio that's just belligerent. At this particular point in time, when I see my spreads starting to firm up a little bit here today, it gives me a little bit of encouragement. And if I can see the wheat market pick up and get a little bit of a skip in its step, it'll take a lot of the pressure off the corn market. And the beans, all things considered, I'm going to be really watching the first few days of next week as we start this quarter and see where that fund desire really is, because it looks like they've liquidated almost all their bean position. I doubt if they're going to be in a situation where they really want to go net short just yet. And then we'll get a little bit closer to the production season and we'll take another look at it.
Donald Trump is scheduled to meet with the Chinese officials in the first part of April, very, very soon. Expectations are that they will be bringing a very big check with them, Joe Vaclavic, in hopes of buying agricultural products. Do you think that will be mostly soybeans?
I sure hope so. We need any additional business we can get given what's going on in South America. I don't know. I don't think that's anything that's really going to change the landscape of the markets a whole lot. We know that Brazil and Argentina combined have just a monster crop down there. It's going to exceed the previous record by many, many percentage points. So, we could use the demand, but this is not the time of year for it.
Do you all think that today's, despite the bigger number in the soybeans, today's reports were a bit of a letdown for you?
I don't think so at all. I was actually pretty pleased with the corn market or with the corn. I was pleased with the acreage numbers. You know, something, Todd, I thought before the report, I saw everybody's pre-report estimates and the average trade guess, I think, was somewhere around 91. I really think that there were a lot of people that thought it was going to be 91 and a half or 92. I think that might have been what some people might call a whisper number. I think there was a lot of talk like that out there. So I think the 90 million number is very constructive. I was a little disappointed by the corn stocks, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 80 million bushels above the average trade guess or whatever it was, that's not the end of the world. It's just slightly negative. So I was pleased here, and I'm pleased in particular because the farmer, the way they sit right now, we need higher corn prices more than we need higher soybean prices. Farmers have a lot more old crop corn than they do old crop beans. Farmers have a lot more unpriced new crop corn than they do unpriced new crop beans. So we need the bullish corn story here.
Time now for a final word from each of our panelists. We'll start with Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Chip?
Well, I think I just kind of underscore something Joe mentioned earlier. The corn market still has fairly inexpensive option volatility. We're kind of proponents here of courage calls, so to speak. And then, you know, buying these calls while they're cheap volatility in the corn market, using bounces back above $4 on the December futures to start aggressively selling corn. And then you've got your call premium bought in case there is a weather scare and you still have profitable levels locked in. I don't think we can get too bulled up over this. I think it was the best we could hope for in the corn market from these reports today. Bounces are definitely for selling in beans. Don't get bulled up because it's a way different bean market than what we're used to the last 5 years.
Your final thoughts, Joe Vaclavec of Standard Grain out of Chicago.
Same thing I said before, you know, the report was generally constructive for the corn market. Remember that these reports usually take 2 or 3 days to digest. Just because we saw one action today doesn't mean that it's going to carry through to next week. So by Tuesday or Wednesday next week, I'll have a better feel for what this report means. We're going to start to focus on weather quite a bit, planting conditions. You know, we're not that far away from yield talk and that sort of thing. So this is a time of year where things are changing constantly.
And last on the list today, from Lafayette, Indiana, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, I think that last statement there about the acreage pretty much being a static number going forward, yield is going to be all important. I think we've got a little bit of breath of life in the corn and the wheat market. Beans probably aren't really in as dire strait as today's situation may appear. And I do think that the first few days of next week are going to be very telling. And if we have a positive response, I think it could be a very encouraging thing for us going to the fields.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our panelists this week include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and Joe Vaclavec of Standard Grain from Chicago, Illinois. Look our programming up anytime you'd like. Listen on demand on our website, willag.org, willag.org. You can find us, too, on the Android Play Store, in iTunes, and on NPR One. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.